Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijonne go shabothya, nijonne go shabothya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I shout from time to time, no attention is paid to mine. I feel for you, not just for me. My heart beats on. Why can't you see? The land, feed your mother, take the poison from all my waters, cut the trees down to my soul, strip my body of all its oil.
from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, from Kenyon Records CD Volume 2, Voices Across the Land. The name of the song was Mother Earth Speaks. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kodeshi Native Center. Today's program, we focus on the raping of Mother Earth and oppression of Appalachian communities from the coal mining process known as Mountaintop Removal, MTR. I will be speaking with Mr. Vernon Haltom, a representative of the community organizations Coal River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. Vernon and a number of other fellow Appalachian activists are here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering, NCORE. They are here in order to present the environmental justice struggle, to speak out against having their region become more of a national sacrifice zone from coal mining. Coal mining already has caused tremendous ecological and social impacts to the lands and peoples of Appalachia for many, many years. National Coalition of Organized Resistance is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, NCORE seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. NCORE is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kodeshi Native Center was honored to be a part of NCORE 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. NCORE folks share Yad Kodeshi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciated is the fact that the majority of NCORE participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. At NCORE, Mountain Justice presented a workshop session that informed participants about the human, environmental, and economic dimensions of mountaintop removal. Yad Kodeshi Native Center is dedicated to protecting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Since our beginning, Yad Kodeshi has been working to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe. We are proud to have been involved in the establishment and leadership of the National Environmental Justice Movement. Yad Kodeshi Native Center's Usit Kamu program, which means protecting Mother Earth, continues to be active in the international environmental justice movement. The issues of coal mining and mountaintop removal have long been a major concern of ours. I myself have visited Appalachia several times in order to document and report on the impacts of clear-cutting forests, coal mining, and resultant water pollution and toxic waste from energy development. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional ecologist with years of field experience in the science of environmental monitoring and impact assessment. I have worked as a forest and land planner, environmental permitting specialist. I understand the development process of the mining industry, having fought against many projects. I am experienced with the interagency administrative regulatory process of government, having studied a number of law and policies such as the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, the National Pollution Discharge System, Mine Land Reclamation Act, National Forest Management Act, etc. I have testified against energy land use plans and permit applications across the country, including mountaintop removal coal mining in Appalachia. One such policy change Yad Kodeshi Native Center fought was the Bush administration's rules change to the Clean Water Act, which redefines fill material. Mining companies are now able to dump millions of tons of mountaintop debris into nearby streams, which of course greatly damages aquatic ecosystems. The issues around coal mining Appalachia are very similar to the issues of coal mining in Indian Country, which Yad Kodeshi Native Center has been fighting against for years. The situation of Big Mountain Black Mesa with the Dene, Navajo, and Hopi, or the mining of Cheyenne and Blackfeet lands as examples, have many similarities to the cultural, environmental, social, and economic impacts happening to Appalachia and other places in the world. Before we listen to today's program guest, Mr. Vernon Haltom, I want to play a song from a CD he gifted me entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal, Coal Mining. The song is called Keepers of the Mountains, sung by Elaine Perkey. As you listen to the song, please think about the devastating impacts of Appalachian coal mining. The mountaintop removal process begins with clear-cutting thousands of acres of some of the world's most biologically diverse temperate hardwood forests. Much of the timber is either burned or buried. Then, tons of explosives are detonated to loosen the rock. Then the topsoil and rubble are dumped into nearby valleys, polluting waterways. Coal companies then extract the coal seams layer by layer, a process that itself emits toxic coal dust into the air and sediment erosion of the scarred surface land. The coal is prepared for market and processing plants that use a mysterious mix of chemicals to remove impurities. The washed out heavy metals and cleaning compounds are stored in multi-billion gallon toxic waste ponds or sludge dams. Many of these dams are placed precariously above homes, communities, and schools. There are a number of examples where these waste dams have leaked, polluting the environment and causing human health problems. Several of these toxic pond dams have even failed, resulting in the deaths of people and killing of fish. Entire valleys and communities have greatly suffered from the pollution, contamination, floods, and sedimentation directly as a result of mountaintop removal coal mining. The railroad network of coal trains across the land and despoiling the mountains with no real mine land reclamation adds further insult to injury. The land and people's way of life is totally destroyed.
In southern West Virginia, the place where I was born, there's something evil happening. There's something evil going on. They're tearing up our mountains. They're taking away our hills. They're taking all our homeland and making valley fields. When will they stop this destruction? Oh, when will they ever leave? Just go back to where they came from. Let us live in our mountains and be free. We're the keepers of the mountains, as Larry Gibson has said. Love 'em, leave 'em, but I warn you, don't destroy them or leave them for dead. 'Cause we'll hunt you down like outlaws. We'll expose you for what you are. Greedy, thieving murderers who buy and sell our lawmaking liars. Now the moral of my story, you just listen to what I say. We'll protect our homes, our mountains. You do the same, or you better stay away.
Vernon, whenever the general public sees advertising from energy companies, the TV commercials and magazine layouts always highlight how the companies benefit local communities. Their public relations ads portray their corporations as good neighbors, providing lots of jobs and economic prosperity to rural poor regions like Indian Country or Appalachia. You and I and others involved in the Mountain Justice Movement know that these assertions are simply lies, distortions of the truth. Here at your Mountain Justice Cold River Mountain Watch exhibit, there is an information sheet entitled Myths and Facts. Let me please read a few of these points for our worldwide listeners. Myth: mountaintop removal mining provides jobs. Fact: as more coal is produced in mountaintop removal strip mining, the number of coal mine workers decrease. Although coal production rose 32% between 1987 and 1997, mining jobs dropped 29% during the same period. Myth: mountaintop removal mining improves local economies. Fact: the top 15 coal-producing counties in West Virginia suffer from some of the worst poverty levels in the nation, even though they produce 15% of the nation's coal. Fact: in 1998, tourism pumped more money into the West Virginia economy than the coal industry. Fact: coal companies forced people living near the mines to sell their homes and leave. Whole communities such as Blair, West Virginia, have been wiped out. Myth: West Virginia needs more flatland for development purposes. Fact: over 300,000 acres of West Virginia have received surface mine permits. At the present rate of development, this is enough developable land to last 3,000 years. Fact: in the Cold River Basin area alone, there is 95,000 acres of flat land 600 to 800 feet above the infrastructure, enough to build 5 to 5,000 acre parks, 10 100 acre prisons, 50 shopping malls, 100 100 acre trailer parks, 400 50 acre schools. Myth: all surface mine land today is reclaimed equal to or better than it was prior to mining. Fact: the Appalachian Highlands is characterized by some of the best forest habitat in the world. Current reclamation practices are converting these forests into grasslands, which many significantly impact neotropical bird populations and other sensitive species if left unchanged. Fact: in the original mining permit application, companies are required to include specific details which demonstrate that the land can and will be put to some productive use, such as recreational, commercial, agricultural, etc. Curiously, a number of mountaintop removal permits have been approved, which included no specific details about post-mining land use. Vernon, we know that more than 400,000 acres of Appalachian mountains have been leveled, more than 1,400 miles of streams buried by mountaintop removal mining. We know that serious floods have washed out people's homes. We know that aquifers, water reservoirs, as well as fish and wildlife habitat have been polluted from mine waste. And we know many people suffer human health illness as a result of mining toxins in the environment. What are some economic alternatives to coal mining?
The reason why we can't work on renewable energy sources. You have big companies like Mackey Energy that focus only on coal. Why not have a solar plant building photovoltaic cells? Why not build wind turbine small scale or large scale? We have the infrastructure, we have the rail lines, we have plenty of flat land. The coal industry says we need more flat land. We've got more than we need, so it's only a tiny bit of it is developed. That's a big possibility. That would replace the energy that the coal is supplying now. Tourism is a growing industry in Appalachia. but you can only go so far with tourism when you come to a barren mountain or a blackened river. Education is a big one. There are some fine universities in Appalachia. The culture is such that who wants to come to a university when you don't feel welcome there, when the coal industry is making the landscape surrounding the place unlivable? You know, there's a lot that can be done, and a big part of our emphasis this summer is on economic reconstruction, post-coal economic recovery, alternatives. In April, there's a conference on post-coal economic conversion. We're going to be batting around several ideas and working on that. That is a big issue. There are solutions. You know, we do need to realize coal is not the be-all and end-all that it claims to be. Since it does claim to hire so many people, that's something they should not brag about. 15 years they've cut their employment by several thousand, in large part due to mountaintop removal. Ammonium nitrate and giant machines are much cheaper than actually hiring people to go underground. So a big part of our message is that mountaintop removal does not create jobs, it does eliminate them. The industry's response is, but it's safer above ground. If you look at Mine Safety and Health Administration fatality reports from 1999 to 2003, nearly two-thirds of the fatalities are on the surface. So surface mining is not safer for the miners, and it's certainly not safer for the communities. From 1980 until 2005, the coal industry eliminated 40,000 jobs in West Virginia alone. They went from 55,000 to under 15,000. They claim that for every mining job, they create six jobs. So if you have 40,000 jobs gone and six for each one of those altogether, that's 280,000 jobs the mining industry has removed from West Virginia alone. That's not economic growth.
Vernon, as we have been speaking together here at the National Conference of Organized Resistance, NCOR, over the past few days, you know I am an ecologist with years of field biology experience in environmental monitoring and impact science, which I've used my university training to fight energy companies. Protecting Mother Earth and working for environmental social justice is my primary purpose in life. So the subject of environmental impacts from raping Appalachia is very important to me and is the topic of what in a moment I wish you to comment on. Throughout Indian country, where politically powerful energy companies operate, it is often heard that mining brings great benefits to rural, economically poor tribal communities. Even some tribal governments, along with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, promote the mining companies' promises of jobs and economic prosperity. The public relations campaigns, however, are quite misleading. Who really benefits from raping Mother Earth? While a few tribal executives may be living in nice homes and riding around in fancy cars, the majority of reservation residents not only continue to live in poverty, but also must suffer many consequences of coal mining. Mining Indian land has caused serious cultural, social, economic, and environmental impacts. I personally have seen many examples of reservations turned into wastelands, literally toxic zones. Many native communities now have very contaminated water, unfit for people, animals, or crops. In arid areas, coal mining has depleted precious aquifers. With the invitation of Hopi elders, I've visited sacred springs that barely have any water anymore. Some Hopi springs have dried up completely. Many native lands now suffer serious water shortages as a result of mining companies stealing water. Through Freedom of Information Act research, I've read reports that document mining companies taking more water than allowed in their permits. Environmental health problems such as lung disease and a host of other illnesses are now major problems affecting not only those who work for coal companies, but even family members who have become sick from living nearby mining operations. Many mining waste sludge ponds have leaked their toxic effluent into the ground and waterways. These poisonous releases often go unreported by the mining companies. Even if mining companies are cited for pollution violations by federal or state so-called environmental protection agencies, there is little concern on the part of the mining industries. They simply pay a small fine, if at all. However, their impacts from contaminating the environment is evident in the poor growth and deformed conditions of plants that take up these contaminants. Fish in aquatic environments that have received toxic effluent are, of course, hazardous to eat. Animals that graze on poison plants or are fed forage that have become contaminated also bioaccumulate toxins. Farm animals, as well as wildlife, like deer, for example, may become sick and even die from ingesting too much toxic vegetation. As any biologist can tell you, people who eat fish, wildlife, or domesticated animals that have been exposed also can become very sick and even die as toxins bioaccumulate up in the food chain. Native American communities near mining sites who depend upon subsistence hunting and fishing, or who raise livestock such as sheep, goats, and cattle, are at high environmental health risks. In short, coal mining native lands have resulted in broken promises, contaminated land and water, and often more poverty and health problems unknown to communities prior to the arrival of energy companies. No wonder politicians call these reservation areas national sacrifice zones. Is this not what has been and continues to be going on in Appalachia? Brendan, would you please comment on the environmental impacts of mountaintop removal mining?
Well, what you have when you do mountaintop removal, the first thing they do is they clear cut the trees and they bury many of the trees. They bury some and they burn some. It's slash and burn or slash and bury, which if they bury it, it's illegal, but it happens anyway. They bury it in the valley fills. They use nearly 3 million pounds per day of explosives in West Virginia, dump the rubble into the valleys, and you're left with barren moonscape. And their form of reclamation is they spray a mixture of grass seed fertilizer and a binding agent on it, and it's green when it goes on, and it grows green for a while, but it's a non-native grass. Nothing native can compete with it, and the native wildlife won't have anything to do with it other than a few bugs and worms and snakes. In West Virginia alone, you've got over 600 square miles that have been leveled this way just so far, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And we're having higher levels of phosphates in the river from the stuff that they spray on. You have mudslides from the valley fills that fail. You have floods where people die, their homes are destroyed. And until very recently, West Virginia was number one on FEMA relief for flood assistance. And that doesn't really pay people for the value of their homes. It doesn't allow them enough to relocate to any kind of decent quality of life. When coal is cleaned, you hear a lot about clean coal. Well, part of the processing is they pulverize it, they grind it, and they spray it with several chemicals to wash the impurities out. The lead, the mercury, the arsenic, manganese, cadmium, the list goes on and on and on of all the things that comes out of the coal, plus what goes into the cleaning of the coal is separated. You have a thick, gooey substance that's pumped behind the sludge dam, and you have clear stuff that goes back into the river. So you have higher levels of certain compounds in the sludge dams themselves. That is a toxic nightmare. It is a mess. It's a witch's brew of so many chemicals, pages and pages of which I can't even pronounce. These things fail. They leak. They seep. In the year 2000 in Martin County, Kentucky, one of these failed. It was the largest, it was the worst environmental disaster in the southeast, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. 75 miles of river were killed. 1.6 million fish were killed. A lot of this was from being buried. Part of it was from being poisoned. Luckily, no people died in that, but their homes, their yards were covered with sludge, this thick black goo. And this was at a dam that had failed 6 years previously. The Mine Safety and Health Administration had given it a clean bill of health in between and said that it was safe. And we have over 150 of these in West Virginia. We have sludge spills frequently from equipment that malfunctions, or they're relatively minor in comparison to that. But so many of these are built over underground mine workings. And with the maps, the age of the maps and the quality of the maps, no one knows for sure where some of these underground mine shafts are or how thick the floor of the sludge dam is. Some of these could go at any time. In the case where I live, when the largest one we have, Brushy Fork, that's going to hold over 8 billion gallons of sludge. When that goes, I will die. Everyone in the town where I work will die. And that will go on. Thousands and thousands of people will die. But the state continues to grant permits for this.
Fill my heart.
us I will wander. With beauty before me I will wander. With beauty behind me I will wander. With beauty above me I will wander. Traveling on the trail of beauty, I will wander. It shall be finished in beauty. It shall be finished in beauty. It shall be finished in beauty. It shall be. You had an This is the most beautiful place in the world. And I will be damned if I'm gonna let you tell me what it's worth. With your one eye on these mountains and one foot out the door, I have been here long enough to know one thing for sure. Best be warned that we're not gonna take it anymore. With your one eye on these mountains and your one foot out the in these hills.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
I was born in the town of Allagash, Maine. From five generations of loving folk I came. For 100 years or more, my family's worked on this land, chopping and hauling trees with the proud skill of our hands. In all my years of living, I've seen companies come and go. It's we who do the work for them, but it's they who run the show. From far away, the boss has come to plenty for the few. But this work is in our blood, and it's the only work there is to do. In this wild northern country, this land of spruce and pine, of quickly flowing rivers and hills as old as time. We have hunted, we have fished, we have taught our children well. Now the company comes from Canada to make our lives a living hell. Oh, the living has been hard in this little northern town. We've known and worked in pleasure every inch upon this ground. Now the corporate devils come again to drive the wages down. We work for pennies if we work at all, and cut the pulpwood to the ground. Now I stood here in this clear cut, seeing the work that I have done. I've hung my head in sorrow for the forest that has gone. Tell me, what's a man to do when they've got him by the balls? When he's drowning in his debt and his back is to the wall? In this wild northern country, this land of spruce and pine, of quickly flowing rivers and hills as old as time. We have hunted, we have fished, we have taught our children well. Now the company comes from Canada to make our lives a living hell. Oh, but the elders moved away from here when the school shut down. Now one bout of pneumonia could take out the whole damn town. Tell me whom he left to tell these stories when we're dead and gone. When I sing these songs of sorrow, whom he left to sing along? As I stand here by this roadside, watch the log trucks come and go, shipping raw trees north to Canada with overburden loads. They take away our labor, they take away our land. Now they take away our culture and leave no place left to stand. In this wild northern country, this land of spruce and pine, of quickly flowing rivers and hills as old as time. We have hunted, we have fished, we have taught our children well. Now the company comes from Canada to make our lives a living hell. We tried pleading at the state house, but they gave us little heed. The cronies at the deal, well, they serve the company's greed. But we will not stop our fighting, though we know the cards are stacked. Corporations bought our government, and we can't afford to buy it back. winters, and we'll be here many more. Though the greedy Irving family like to drive us out our doors, we will not go out in silence, won't go down without a fight. For them it's all for money, but for us this is our life. In this wild northern country, this land of spruce and pine, the quickly flowing rivers and hills is all vast time. We have hunted, we have fished, we have taught our children well. Now the company comes from Canada to make our lives a living hell. Many winters, and we'll be here many more. Though the greedy Irving family like to drive us out our doors, we will not go out in silence, won't go down without a fight. For them it's all for money, but for us this is our life. For them it's all for money, but for us this is our life. For them it's all for money, but for us this is our life. For them it's all for money, but for us this is our life.
Music from folk singer Ethan Miller from his CD In Times of War. The name of that song was entitled Allagash. Ethan was one of the performers at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance, where I had the pleasure to interview Mountain Justice activist Brennan Holtom. I played Ethan's song Allagash because that song speaks about the desecration of another sacred land, the Forest River ecosystem of my homeland, Wabanaki Indian Territory, now called Maine's North Woods. Forest industries are logging, often 24 hours a day, destroying 100 trees an hour in order to feed the greedy paper mills that also poison the land, waters, plants, animals, and people from their toxic effluents, just like in Appalachia or in other areas of Indian country. Prior to our Yad Kiddushin Native Center program identification, we featured two songs. The first one you heard was entitled Trouble, from Lakota singer David Night Eagle, off his Kenyon Records CD, Torn from the Heart, The Journey. That song speaks of the desecration of Dene Navajo and Hopi sacred lands of Big Mountain Black Mesa area, which I spoke about in today's program. Next, we played a song entitled The Most Beautiful Place in the World, sung by Mary Ann Hitt from the Falling Mountain Music CD, Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia Rise Up Against Mountaintop Coal Mining. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. As always, we encourage all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about the subjects of our programs by visiting recommended websites like Coal River Mountain Watch at www.crmw.net, Appalachian Voices, www.appvoices.org, Black Mesa Indigenous Support, www.blackmesais.org, and Indigenous Environmental Network, www.ienearth.org. And of course, you can always visit our website. That's Yad Kiddushin Native Center's website, www.yadkiddushin.org. We shall conclude today's program with a traditional honoring song from the Drum Kicking Women Singers off their Kenyon Records CD, Our Way of Life. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.